The end of the year is upon us. Tomorrow we'll be saying goodbye to 2018. And on Wednesday, if you stay up really late tomorrow night, Wednesday really early, you can welcome in, Tuesday, you can welcome in 2019. But what will the new year bring for us? I mean, will it bring troubles, sorrows, pain, and grief? Or will it bring joy, happiness, good fortune, and rejoicing? Or a mixture of both? And for the most part, we have no idea what to really expect. Yet we will probably see a mixture of good and of challenges. And it's that uncertainty which can cause us a bit of anxiety. The question is, how do we face 2019 with any kind of assurance? We want to know that everything will be okay, that when things are good, that it doesn't go to our head and swell our heads and we get filled with pride, and when we come across challenges, that we're able to work through those challenges in a godly way. We can find some great help in Joshua chapter 23. No, the Israelites are not celebrating the new year, but they are in an edge of a new chapter in their history. The Israelites are under the leadership of Joshua. They have conquered most the promised land, but now Joshua is old and is about to die, and he knows that. So he gathers the leadership of Israel together and gives them a farewell speech. I believe there's some good advice for us in Joshua's words as we face the new year. Have you looked at the newspapers lately? Or have you watched the news? And most of the newscasts and the newspaper articles right now are what? They're focused on the great stories, good and bad, of 2018. They reflect back at looking at the past year. In Joshua's final address, he says, in a sense, that we need to look back at the good things. In Joshua chapter 23, verse 3, this is what we read. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. The Israelites under Joshua's leadership had crossed the Jordan River, taken possession of the promised land, or most of it anyhow. And as Joshua talks with the leaders of the nation, he's reflecting on all that God has done throughout the past years. I mean, he could have said, hey guys, do you remember when we walked around Jericho 7 times and the walls collapsed and we went in and we took the city? Do you remember those 5 Anamite kings that bound together that said they were going to defeat us? And God made the sun stand still until we completely destroyed them. Yes, God has been good to us. One king after another that we have faced taking the promised land, God has delivered into our hands. God has defeated our enemy. As Joshua talked about facing a new chapter in their history, he wanted them to look back. He wanted them to remember all that the Lord had done for them. We can just imagine how the elders started to recall the past. They would have become filled with confidence as they looked forward to the future, knowing what has been accomplished in the past. I mean, think about today. When a hockey coach or a football coach or a soccer coach, they gather the team together, what do? They say, hey, this game, we're struggling through it. But remember, Remember how we were losing and in the third period, with 5 minutes to go, we got 3 goals and won the game? Or remember how we got that end field goal at the last minute and won the game? We can do it again. You're the same players that were there then. Looking back, as we face the new year, we need to take a moment and look back. That is what the writer of Psalms says in 77, verses 11 to 12. I remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. As the psalmist and the Israelite leaders looked back, they would have known that all things are possible with God, as he's involved in it all. I'm not sure what your past year's been like, but I am sure there have been victories. I mean, I just look at the church. We have seen God provide financially for the church throughout the whole year. And then he provided specifically enough money to purchase the metal for a new roof. Now, the roof's not on yet, and it will be in the spring, but we have the metal, and it's paid for. Wow, that's a pretty incredible miracle in itself. And then I just look in just the past month, I think of the Christmas dinner and all the people that showed up at the Christmas banquet and those who weren't going to church. And then there was the Christmas Eve service. What a wonderful service. Folks, you made it such a special time. And those that came, again, from our community. And then there's our benevolence fund that we just took an offering for again. And you folks are so generous. But we've been able to help a number of families. And even at Christmas, we were able to help a number of families and individuals. Those are the good things. Why? Because we have money? Because we're wealthy? Because we asked the people to come? Yeah, in a way. But who enabled all that? God did. And we need to look at those victories. Yet I can hear some saying that that is all good. But when I look back in my life, there's nothing really good that's happened in the past year. Well, I would have to say that's not true. Sorry. Because God says he is the God of good things. All good things come down from our Heavenly Father, and he gives us lots of good things. I mean, he's there all the time. But the Israelite leaders, as they look back, some of them might have said, well, hold on, Joshua. Remember when we went to fight Ai? They defeated us the first time. And remember when the Gibeonites came and they said, oh, we're from a long way away. Make a treaty with us. And we did? Yeah. Do you know? The truth is, there were challenges in Israel's history, and as there has been in our lives over the last year. Yet through those challenges, the Israelites learned to obey God and to ask him before they made a decision, should we make a treaty with these people? So they learned, and through those trials, they learned powerful lessons, and those were victories. God uses those tough times, those times of challenges for our good. You know, maybe to bring us back on track. Maybe to draw us closer to him. Maybe to bring us into a time of trusting him and knowing that he's our God and he will never leave us nor forsake us. At the end of the year, as the end of the year approaches, let's take time to look back, as it will fill us with thanksgiving for what God has done. And it will fill us with confidence that God is always there for us. In both the good times and the challenges. Joshua didn't just talk about looking back because he knew that they had not taken possession of all the promised land. He knew there was still victories to be won as they continued to claim the rest of the land that God had promised them. Verse 5 in Joshua 23, we read these words, "The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you." See, Joshua moves from "you have seen" to "God will, you will, he will." Let's focus on the future, is what Joshua is saying. Joshua wants people to look ahead with anticipation about what God is going to do as they move forward in his plan. It's not about just sitting around and doing nothing. It's about us moving. It's about the Israelites moving, and God will move with them and for them. God will push their enemies out of their way. The Hebrew here has the idea of driving the enemy right out of the land. Joshua states that God will give them the land he had promised. You know, I read these words, and as I read them, I hear them as a prophetic word to his people today. Luke 4, Jesus says that he has come to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom for the oppressed. Isn't that the same thing? In other words, God is going to push back, drive out the enemies which are keeping his children captive and oppressed. That might be a lack of finances that's keeping us captive or oppressed, or unemployment, or health issues, or addictions, or habits that we struggle with. Any number of things which the enemy uses us to keep us captive and oppressed. I felt in many ways that the Christian is like the Israelites going into the promised land at that second time, or when Joshua is talking to them at that second time. They've taken possession of most of the land. They're just about there. They just about have the victory, but they don't have the complete victory. Isn't that like our lives? As we walk with God, how many of us have the complete victory? Boy, I'll tell you, today I was wondering if I had victory over my human tendencies. God wants to keep pushing us and working with us to take captive and to give us the Christian life that we need. When we gave Jesus, our lives to Jesus, to be Lord and Master, he started a good work in us. He started changing us. And he's not finished, and he will not quit working in our lives until he's finished, till he's brought us to where he wants us. And you know Philippians 1:6, which says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Paul says, "I am sure, be confident. Without a doubt, this is going to happen. And I believe this for my life, for your life, for the life of the church. God is going to bring it to completion. That good work which he began in us, he will bring that to completion. We need to look back with thanksgiving because of what God has done. But we need to also look forward with great anticipation to what God is going to do. You know, if we're not expecting God to do anything, chances are he's not going to do anything, because he's just, what should I do? You don't want anything. You're not looking for anything. We need to be expecting God to do something, and we'll receive from him. Joshua continues to exhort them to look, but now he's in verses 6 to 8, he wants them to look inwardly. And we could spend hours just on this portion of scripture in Joshua 23, verse 6 and 8. And I'm just going to cover it really quickly. And it says, but be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the name of their gods or swear by them. You must not swear. You must not swear. You must not serve them or bow down to them. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. Joshua tells them to check their hearts. Make sure that they obey God's word, not moving to the left or the right. For some of the enemy is still in the land, and they're enticing them to worship differently and to come and worship our gods and do the things that we do. And that's no different today. There is the enemy in the land, and the enemy would say, come and do it their way. And God would say, no, look inwardly. Obey God's laws. Don't mix with those things. What incredible advice for us as we enter the new year. We need to continue to check our hearts both now and every day. It's important that we know what the Bible says so that we know the right and wrong. We know where what's going to sidetrack us to the left or sidetrack us to the right. Joshua is saying that if we do not know the Bible, what the Bible tells us, then we will get mixed up with the wrong stuff. We might be persuaded to turn to the left or the right. We might be sidetracked and take our eyes off Jesus. The enemy will continue to try and deceive us. If we know the Bible, we will not be moved off the narrow path. We will not be moved off the narrow path to the right or the left. As we align our hearts and our lives with God's word, Jesus will continually take first place in our lives. This is exactly where Joshua goes next. He encourages the Israelites to look to the Lord. Joshua chapter 23, verses 9 to 11. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because of the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Joshua is saying that there have been some great victories in the past, and there will be some mighty victories in the future. But we need to remember where those victories came. One of you will rout 1,000. Why? Because the Lord your God will fight for you. It's not what I do. It's not what you do. The battle is the Lord's, and he is the one that fights for us. Unfortunately, when we are winning the victory over the enemy, it's far too easy to not give credit where credit is due. It's easy for pride to creep in. You know, I was the one that was able to quit smoking back in those years. I was the one that was able to quit drinking. I was the one that got a better job. I was the one that defeated anger. I was the one that defeated depression. No, God did all those things in my life. It's his battle, and he won those victories for me. And he's won victories for you. And he will continue to win victories. We need to give him the glory. Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. May we give Jesus glory for what he has done. He is the one who provides us with all we need for our victories. We'll be able to face the new year with confidence and hope if we will take the time to look. Where are we looking? look back at what God has done and give him thanksgiving for the confidence he gives us to know that in 2019, we're pretty sure, in fact, we're not just pretty sure, we know that Jesus will be with us through it all. Look ahead with anticipation to what Jesus is going to do in 2019. We need to look inward to make sure that our hearts are clinging to Jesus, fixed on obeying his word and exalting him. We need to look to Jesus to give him the glory for providing us with what we need to face 2019 with assurance. As New Year's is just about here, the question is, where are we looking? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can face 2019 with confidence and assurance that you are our God. You won't just leave us. You'll always be there. You're there to fight the battles. The battles aren't ours, and we give you the glory right now for what you're going to do in 2019. We give you the glory for what you did in 2018. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, God, we come with great anticipation, looking at 2019, knowing that you are going to move in a powerful way in our lives, in the life of Crossroads, in the life of the church in general, in the lives of those at the E-Free Church, Pastor Paul and their church. Lord, we just ask that you would spread your love and your goodness throughout our community, and that you would be high and lifted up, and that you would be exalted in Jesus' name. Amen.